Do you want to sing that song before him? That'll be long.
You want to do that now?
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, please be seated.
We've got a song we want to play right now before Jan shares the word. Yeah. Battle Belongs.
When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe. Oh, when I'll fight on my knees, with my head lifted high. Oh, God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet, I've seen through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? Yeah. For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. In almighty fortune, you go before.
Bless you. you. Woo! All right. So the other day I was with my granddaughters, and the oldest one, Lily, she's 7, and so we were singing this song, and in her Sunday school, they had taught her all kinds of motions for it. So she did the whole thing with all the motions. Every fear I lay at your feet. And she's singing along. It was so precious. Oh, my gosh. That's why I had to sing it today. Because it's true. When we fight, we got to fight on our knees. But with our hands lifted high to really acknowledge where is the source of our answers, our strength, the rest we need, the quiet we need in our life. What is it that we need? So today, what I want to talk about a little bit is how we can find rest and strength in the shepherd, by the shepherd, because that's why I wanted to play Psalm 23. So we're going to take a little bit of a deep dive into Psalm 23. And also, last Wednesday when I was sharing about being quiet and being still and know that I am God, I read a verse in Psalm 119. If you want to look at it, it's 164. I don't have that with me, but somebody can read it for me. It's talking about, 7 times will I praise you for your righteous acts. 7 times in the day I will praise you. So I was thinking about how every day we can have, you know, you can set your phone and just do a little chime or something and stop whatever you're doing and go, okay, what do I have to praise God for right this moment? So I thought we would practice it this morning and take a praise pause in the middle of the teaching, okay? And I'll just... Somebody, you think about something that you want to praise God for and raise your hand, and then we'll praise God for a few seconds, and then we'll go back to the teaching, okay? Because this is how we can live life, where all through the day, it doesn't even have to only be 7 times. But that's a good place to start, because, you know, usually we get up in the morning and we do some praising and stuff like that, but then, you know, the day can just go on a roll, and before you know it, it's 6 o'clock, and go like, wow, how much did I speak in tongues, and, you know, did I really praise God today? So I think it's a habit that we can develop, and it also, what it does is it starts to focus our minds on the true source of the answers in our lives, the things that we need. When we praise God, then it turns our hearts away from ourselves, our problems, our stuff, you know, everything we're doing, to the one who has the answers, right? So that's why I wanted to do this. So somebody want to read 164? Do you have it?
Hey, King James. Several times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgment.
7 times a day will I praise you. 7 times a day. Okay, so that's called, I'm calling it, this is my terminology, okay? I'm calling it praise pause. Alta. Amen. Thank you. That was great. Okay, Psalm 23. It is a wonderful, of course, you know, very famous psalm, and it's something that I actually memorized when I was about 7 years old. It was the first scripture that I memorized, and I remember being scared to death to get up in front of my whole Sunday school class, but, you know, I did the whole thing, and to this day I can, you know, quote it. So it's one of those psalms that just sticks in your heart, right? But it's about how the Lord shepherds us. And it describes things about the shepherd, but it also describes things about what our response is and what happens to us when we get shepherded. So the Psalm 23, you can go there. And I'm going to read sort of an expanded translation that I did from the Aramaic Old Testament. There's a Peshitta Old Testament just as well as the New. And I started doing the Psalms, and I'm up to about 100, Psalm 100. And I kind of took a pause for a while. But eventually I will get that all finished. But, of course, Psalm 23 is at the beginning, so I already did that one. Okay, so, the Lord will shepherd me. It's a little bit different than just saying, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, he is, right? The Lord God is the great shepherd. Jesus, his son, is the good shepherd, right? And then when you have pastors and ministers in the church, they're like the under-shepherds of both of them together, right? God in working in Christ in us. So, but when you say it like this, you say, the Lord will shepherd me. It makes it personal. It makes it like, he is really going to shepherd me. This whole psalm is very, very personal. So, and it, then he goes on and says, I will not be lacking in anything. And if you want to expand that, it's like, I will not perish. I will not suffer damage, be needy, be injured, or harmed. It's like this whole idea of being protected. And then verse 2 says, he will settle me in meadows of strength, or lush meadows, and he will guide me to quiet waters. We've often talked about the still waters, right? But the shepherd, you have to see that the shepherd is the one who is guiding us to the still waters. It's not like we have to find them by ourselves. Okay, praise, pause. Who would like to praise? Claudia. I'm thankful for my children who love God too. Praise God. All right. So the shepherd is the one who supplies the sheep everything that they need, like the pasture to graze on, the water they need. And sheep are basically dumb. And it's not really such a far stretch to call people sheep because they often... They don't really know how to take care of themselves. And I've thought about this a lot, too, is that even going back to Adam and Eve in the garden, God designed us to be dependent upon him. That's not a crime. In our culture, we're taught that you have to be independent, you have to be strong, you have to make all your own decisions, you have to do all this stuff by yourself. But that is not how God designed us. He actually designed us to really love having a shepherd. And when we turn to the shepherd, knowing that he's good, knowing that he cares, knowing that he's always there for us, and that he will guide us, then we can receive that and not buck up against it. You see what I mean? So we can learn how to be strengthened by his shepherding. Okay? I was thinking about that verse in Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Well, here's the New Living Translation of that verse. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. That's Ephesians 3:16, sorry. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength by his Spirit. So we have the Spirit within us, right? So that's how God can work with us, because we have a connection to him. And so he can actually strengthen us from the inside out. The Spirit's perfect. Right? Okay. But it's in us. So it's a life-giving spirit. And it can minister to our soul and to our mind and to our heart and to even to our physical body.
from the inside out. See, it's not something we have to go find. We already have it. And then we just need to allow God to work in us by way of that Spirit in us. And what He often does is lead us to still waters, provide a pasture for us, say, hey, do you need some answers in your life? Would you like to have some? Well, okay, let me sit with you, and you get quiet enough, like a sheep, like drop down, get in the meadow, those lush meadows, and stop talking about the wolves that are around you, and just listen to me. And then that still small voice starts speaking of like, all right, I'd really love to tell you what I would like you to understand and know today. So there was one of the things I was thinking about is that how are we strengthened? You know, and to be strengthened, just, oh, sometimes I've taught about how, you know, strength is like that high power drill that drills through 10 feet of concrete, just like that. But it also means to be made firm, like to set something. So you think about, you pour cement, right? Okay, and you have to lay out the framework, because once you pour the cement, it's going to start hardening right away. So you have the frame, and that's like us. And then you pour the cement in, and it gets hard. And as it gets hard, it gets strengthened or made firm, right? Okay, so we just picture our lives kind of like that framework, where when we start getting shepherded by God and the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's like we can be made firm. We have something to stand on after that. So an example is when David, if you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30, David had come to this city called Ziklag, and the Amalekites had made a raid against Ziklag, and they had burned it with fire. So then they took all the people captive, especially all his women and children. And verse 4 of chapter 30 says, then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives also had been taken captive, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. But, this is the key phrase here, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue after this band? Shall I overtake them? He answered, pursue, for you shall surely overtake and shall surely rescue or recover everything. Was a very specific question that he asked God, right? Shall I pursue them? And then God said, yes, pursue them. And then he gives them this promise. When you pursue them, this is what will happen. So David strengthened himself. He turned to God to say, I need this. I need some answers here. People are going to stone me. And the sorrow he must have felt too for his wives and his children. And when we're in a situation like that, we have to turn to the Lord who is the shepherd, because he is the one who could guide us and have the answers. But I love that how David asked a really specific question. It's often when we need an answer, we don't need to ask, what do I do, so much as, shall I pursue? Yes, you shall pursue. But then to wait for more about what and how and should I do it like this? Which way to go? And the only way we get those kind of answers is when we get quiet enough and turn to the Lord who is the shepherd. Praise pause. Out.
Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for giving each one of us a purpose to serve you, Father, as we wait patiently on what it is you would have to do that day.
Amen. Okay, back to Psalm 23. Verse 3, He converts my soul, or He restores my soul. He turns it back, turns it from error, and leads me on paths of truth or faithfulness. Paths of faithfulness. So we're talking about the Lord is my shepherd who guides us, right? So how He guides us is in paths of truth or His faithful paths. And I was thinking about that in terms of how when we don't know which way to go, say you got four choices in front of you. You could go this way, this way, this way, this way. Well, how do you figure out which way to go? You got to stop and listen, okay? But you also need to ask God the questions of like, what's going on these paths? Show me the overall picture that you have of it. What's your wisdom surrounding this? Because we can't see that. We're the sheep. And we need to look to the shepherd to be the one to say, He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. That I need to know which one of these paths is the path of righteousness. Because it might appear that it's good, right? Often, I don't know about you, but I've gone on paths that ended up not being so righteous because I thought I knew it myself. So this is about learning how to have strength and rest and answers from the shepherd. In the song that we sang earlier, it talked about He restores my soul with joy, you know, that with gladness. His paths of righteousness are just perfect. And we can never go wrong on going with those. And that even reminded me of the story, we're not going to read it, but the story about when Peter was in Joppa and he's up on the roof praying, you know, and he gets the vision of the animals that are unclean coming down, and he goes, "Oh Lord, I've never eaten any of those guys, you know, I'm not gonna do that." And three times it comes down, "Take, eat," you know, and so Peter is just pondering this whole thing. What are you talking about? What would happen? And then the guys from Joppa show up and say, "Can you come with us?" And he still doesn't know what to do, but he does know that he's supposed to go with them. That's what God says. So when you go on a path, you don't always know what the end result is. You got to take the first steps going along. And so when Peter gets to Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 10, all of a sudden, then, the revelation comes of like, oh, this is what it is. God is no respecter of persons. And that was in verse 28. I'll just read it to you. And he said to them, "You know that it is not lawful for a Judean man to associate with an alien man or a Gentile who is not of his race. Yet God has showed me." He what? Showed me, right? "That I should not say about anyone that he is unclean or corrupt." So that's the first time that the Gentiles get to believe, and the Holy Spirit comes on them just like it did at the beginning on the day of Pentecost. That must have been incredible. But you see how it's a path? He didn't know what was going to happen. He just obeyed. And he followed the path. And then as he followed the path, it became apparent of what exactly God wanted him to know and what he needed to do. And I love that whole record too, because because it's God who's working. You know, Peter just shows up and says, yeah, I'll go. And when he's there, he opens his mouth, and then people believe. That's often what happens, is we can just be faithful to obey. You say, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I don't understand that, but yes, Lord, I'll do it. And he will guide us in paths of righteousness. So that's pretty neat, huh? Okay, back to Psalm 23. We're about halfway through here. And so in verse, where are we here? Okay. The very end of verse 3 is, because of your name, even if I walk in shadowed valleys, I will not fear death from the evil one, because you are with me. So yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's why I wanted to play the song about the battle belongs to the Lord, because every fear we can lay at God's feet. And when we do that, then we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death without fear. Because, why? He's with us. We're not alone. I am not alone. See, I really love that song, because it's not only about praising, you know, when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high, but it's also about how we lay down our fears at his feet and allow him to minister to us, to take those things away, to help, encourage, comfort. You know, life is not easy. And there's challenges for every single person every day. But we have not only guidance from the shepherd, but we also can give him those things that are always, you know, trying to come from the evil one. Here we go. Constantly. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is a great verse. I was also thinking about how, when I was talking earlier about, you know, you drop down in the still, the meadows, and then get led to the still waters and stuff like that. Well, people who are like sheep tend to start always talking about, you know, there are wolves out there. Those wolves, they are really bad. I mean, did you know what is happening around us? Look at that. I mean, we're sitting here in the meadow. Yeah, that's okay. But I know right out there, there are some wolves. People have big mouths. And if they're talking about the wolves, then they're not talking about God, who is the shepherd. Okay? So we got to stop that. And that's why I'm talking about doing these praise pauses. Because when we're praising, we can't be talking about the wolves or focused on the wolves or even the evil one. Yeah, so he is. He's evil. But so what? We have the shepherd. Who's bigger? Okay, so 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. For now, I'm reading from my Aramaic translation. For now, our brothers, pray for us that the word of our Lord may run its course and be glorified in every place as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from evil and dishonest men, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will keep you and rescue you from the evil one. So even if there was a wolf that came in and tried to steal your life away in whatever capacity that is, it's a promise that the shepherd will keep you from the evil one and rescue you. What do we have to be afraid of? Nothing. Yeah, it's amazing. So, go on to verse 4. of Psalm 23. Your rod and your staff encourage me. So the shepherd's rod is the club, and he uses that rod to defend against different predators, right? So the reason why the sheep were not afraid was they saw the shepherd's rod. That's the same thing when we take a praise pause and go, who wants to say? Shelley. Amen. A plan of redemption. That is amazing. Woo. Okay. Great. Yeah. So what the sheep was doing here was he was praising God for the rod, because he looked at the rod and go, I know that the shepherd will protect me. And when I look at that, then I know that it's not my strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's his strength. And then your staff. The staff, the shepherd would do often is it's called passing under the rod, where the shepherd would have the rod, he'd have his club, and then one by one the sheep would come and they would go underneath it, and the shepherd would put his hands all over the top of the sheep, feel his fur, his coat, check behind his ears, does he have little mites in there, does he have any bugs bothering him, you know, he'd feel the whole thing all over, like take the time for each sheep to say, what is it they need? That's the job of the shepherd. So you picture God doing that. Sometimes we get the idea that he doesn't care about our everyday life, but he does. Every single thing, no matter what. So if you want to kind of picture that, then picture he's got this club, he puts it out there, and you're going to go under it. It's like, okay, check me out here. Do I got some bugs? Do I need something? What is it? And then the very next verse is, you will anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Because the oil was to solve any kind of disease, any kind of problem that the sheep had, they used oil to fix it. And so the staff then, so you have the rod, and that's, you know, what was the protection thing, and also to check out the sheep. But then the staff was how to guide them. So the shepherd didn't just take the staff and bop the sheep on the head and go, what's wrong with you? Let's keep going here. He is so gentle. Sometimes I just think about that, how the shepherd is just so gentle. He takes the staff and just gently guides the sheep. He doesn't hit them over the head. He doesn't yell at them. He doesn't say, you stupid sheep, what's wrong with you? How come you can't figure this out for yourself? We were designed to be dependent on God. And it's his joy to guide us. It's his joy to take care of us. There's, you know, of course, the verse in John 10 about I am the good shepherd. Jesus is talking about how he lays down his life for the sheep. He's there for them. He calls the sheep and they know him by name. But then in that whole section, John 10:10, he says, well, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And I was hearing a teaching the other day about that verse, and it was saying that what Jesus was saying was, I am come that you might have my life. Not that you get life from somewhere outside yourself, like who knows where, but he actually gave us his life, his spirit life. The full measure of the spirit of Christ is in us. And we can have that come out in our lives in an abundant way. So I am come that you might have my life. It's just so much bigger even than we can picture. So I'm just sharing a lot of these things today so that we can kind of meditate on it maybe this whole coming week about how the Lord is my shepherd. So you got to go on to verse 5. You have arranged a banquet or tables in front of me, opposite or before my enemies. So you got a bunch of enemies. Okay, there they are. Now, what he's saying is that the shepherd's job is to set a banquet in front of the enemies so that we can sit down with him. Like Sal has that wonderful song about, you know, come to the table, right? Come to the table and sit with him. The verse in Revelation 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens the door, I will come in and sup with him. What the Lord wants to do is to have us sit with him. And when we're not afraid, then we will come to the banquet. Otherwise, we'll be scurrying around going, ah, the wolves, the wolves, the wolves. See? But when you're not afraid, then you'll come and you'll sit with the master. And then he can show you some really, really wonderful things. yeah. So then the rest of verse 5 says, you anoint my head with oil. And often oil will represent prosperity, but it also represents the Spirit, where the Spirit being poured out in our lives. Acts 10, you don't have to look there, but in verse 38, it talks about how Jesus, who was from Nazareth, whom God anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, right? And he came to heal all who were oppressed of the devil. Holy Spirit and power is what is the anointing oil, you know. Like, picture it. There's that psalm about how when Aaron was anointed, they pour the oil on top and it just drips down, all covers his beard and goes all over his clothes and comes and totally saturates him. Not just a little drop of oil on top. It was like, okay. And that's the same idea even about how we're baptized in the Spirit, where it's a full immersion. It's complete. You're completely complete in Him. If we're complete, then is anything lacking?
Nothing.
Okay, praise pause. Paula. Amen. We've been given the Holy Spirit to have a way to praise Him constantly. Every time you just speak in tongues, you can praise Him. Sometimes the words, you know, sometimes the words aren't there, right? It's hard to come up with them. But then that's when you lift your hands high and go, okay, I'll fight on my knees here because I don't know what to say. And then you just speak in tongues because it's perfect prayer, perfect praise. All right, we're back to Psalm 23 and the end of verse 5. The King James says, my cup runneth over, right? My cup is satiated with wine as living pure wine. And when you say living wine, it means it's wine that is refreshing. It represents joy, gladness. Refreshing is the best word I can think of. If something is living, it means it has, it's bubbling all up. And my cup overflows or runneth over. It's like, how much joy do you want to have in your life? Here we go. Let's pour it out. Let it overflow. Let it flow into it so that there's this refreshing that happens when you know that you are being shepherded by the shepherd. You can take a deep breath. You can let those cares roll off the shoulder and just breathe. There's a wonderful song about just breathe, you know, just breathe. Because there's nothing to be afraid of. We're getting guided by the shepherd. There's still waters. There's lush meadows. There's every answer we would ever need. If we need to have, you know, be examined so that we can get rid of some ticks or something like that, he's going to do that too. What is lacking? That's what it starts out with. See, the Lord will shepherd me and I will not lack anything. If he's shepherding us, we won't lack anything. So you get to the very end, which is the greatest verse of all in the whole psalm, really. But verse 6, your grace and your mercies have followed or pursued me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord the length of days, all my days. What is the house of the Lord today? Right. The temple of God is the church. And in Ephesians, God says that he made us his dwelling place. So not only do we have him to be our shepherd, you know, on an individual basis, but as a group, as a church, and you think about the church being everyone who's a believer all over the entire world. How big is that? That is a big temple. But surely goodness will and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of God forever, for all my days. I will dwell in this great, big, huge, wonderful, gigantic body of Christ that is all over the world. And every time I see you, every time I meet someone who's a Christian, it's like this instant recognition that they've got Christ in them too. And you just go, I know you. I know you. I already love you because I know that you're part of the same body, the same family, the same temple that I am. And we get to worship together. We get to live together. We get to help each other. We get to be more of a, like a flock. I love the idea of, you know, being a little lamb in the Lord's arms. But when you think about being this gigantic, huge flock that we get to be a part of and enjoy each other's company, and let's say, you know, somebody is saying, well, what about those wolves out there? I don't know what to do about those wolves out there. They just go, hey, let me remind you that the shepherd is right there. He is going to lead you. So let me take you to him, okay? And then we can help each other to learn how to rest and how to have strength by being shepherded by God. So that's what I wanted to share today. I love you so much. Sure.
Okay, well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and grace in our lives and how you do truly take care of us. You've supplied us with your Spirit. We are completely complete, absolutely complete in him. And we can have great confidence as we walk forward today and forever, knowing that you've got us. You're there for us, and we're grateful and thankful for this. Thank you for a great week as we live it, knowing some of these great truths that we've heard today and we know from your word. And we pray and thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.